Dr. Peter McCullough says the most common question he's asked is, how do I get this out of my body? Spike Support Formula is the only product that contains ingredients researched to block and dissolve spike protein in the bloodstream. So whether you got the shot, had a bad bout of COVID, or are worried about shedding, there is something you could do now to protect yourself. Head to twc.health/Kirk to buy the wellness company Spike Support Formula and get back to feeling your best. Use promo code Kirk at checkout for 10% off your order. That is promo code Kirk for 10% off your order. Hey, everybody. Your comprehensive Israel conversation, the tragedy, the horror. We go through the facts, ask the right questions. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com, and text it to your friends. Get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Become a member to listen to the program, advertiser free, and to support our show. If our show has blessed you at all, go to charliekirk.com and click on the members button. That is charliekirk.com and click on the members button. Email us freedom@charliekirk.com. That is freedom@charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the Loan Experts I Trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. It's a very heavy day. It's a lot of numbness, to be perfectly honest. Honored to be with you. So sometimes when you wake up to news in Israel, you kind of grow accustomed to, you know, rockets going back and forth, 10 people dead, 15 people dead. I'm not minimizing that suffering, but you kind of grow accustomed to that news cycle with Israel. Every couple of years, there's an operation or a border dispute. I mean, Israel has been in some form of a conflict my entire life, my whole life. I mean, I remember when I visited Israel for the embassy to be moved to Jerusalem. There was a border dispute, Gaza, Hezbollah, rockets going here, rockets going there. You kind of typically, if you terrorists sneak in through a tunnel, maybe they'll kidnap an Israeli citizen. And if they do, that's a big deal. So I woke up on Saturday morning. It's my Shabbat, my Sabbath, to go watch college football. And I'm flipping through the channels and it's, you know, it's kind of the Israel news. And my immediate gut reaction is, oh, that's too bad. Border dispute type conflict. And all of a sudden I was looking at the imagery and I was like, hold on a second. This is not what we're used to. Your pattern recognition kind of gets thrown off. And then you go to one channel, this is what turned to BBC, and in all caps, Israel declares war. What? You see, if you know anything about Israeli history, which isn't that long in the modern era, they rarely will do a declaration of war. They'll do an operation. They'll do a military deployment. But to use the word war, and all of a sudden, you know, I kept re-referencing these news cycle, these news channels over the weekend, and it said, okay, 40 people died. I was like, wow, that's bad. And then 70 dead, then 150 dead, and then 200 dead. And then 350 dead, and then 500 dead, and then 800 dead, and 100 people taken as hostages. And I was watching this and I was growing numb, to be honest. And thousands of people injured. The horror and the barbarism here is hard to even comprehend. Israel is now at total war. We're gonna go through the whole deal. We're gonna show you the map. We're gonna show you where is Gaza. We're gonna show you how Israel came into existence in the modern era. We're gonna show Hezbollah. We're gonna show what is the West Bank. We're gonna go through all of that. But I gotta be very honest with you here. I wanna make sure we ask the right questions. As someone who has visited the very gate, I have been to the very gate that these terrorists went through from Hamas. I am scrambling for an explanation, anybody, to explain to me what the heck happened in Israel over the weekend. Yes, we know that there were allegedly, some people say that there was paragliders and people penetrating the fence and rockets, 5,000 rockets that went through the Iron Dome. But hold on a second. This kind of came out of nowhere. They go into a music festival and they kidnap 100 people. That doesn't happen in Israel in the modern era. It just doesn't. When they kidnapped like five in the early 2000s, this was like a massive, massive deal. And I have to just, you know, take pause here. Yes, it was the 50-year anniversary of the Yom Kippur War. Yes, it was a holy day where Israelis or Jews celebrate reading the entire Torah, Simchat Torah. But let's take a how did this happen? Israel is by far the most alert country in the world. I remember when I went to Hebron or the Golan Heights or went to the Gaza Strip, there's nothing but young 19 or 20 year olds with automatic machine guns walking the streets. I mean, at a coffee shop, at a bar, at a restaurant, it is without a doubt the most militarized country that I've ever been to. Maybe the most militarized country in the world. Maybe. I mean, I don't know. Maybe there's other Arab countries that are more militarized. And so there's something wrong here. It is a country built as a fortress. I don't know what that thing wrong is, but there's more to the story and we're going to learn it at some time. Maybe the Israeli government was double-crossed. Maybe they had intelligence about this. We don't know, but let's just go through the facts here. You have 800 militants from Hamas, Gaza. Gaza is like 25 miles by 7 miles at the most generous measurements. That is a sliver. It's like the size of Queens, New York, 2.5 million people. There's only so many attack vectors that Hamas could go through. And you're trying to tell me on the 50-year anniversary of the Yom Kippur War, one of the most holy days. We know Arabs like to attack on holy days, okay? They like that. They think that Jews have their guard down. That they're able to get 800 people through the border. They go to a music festival and start mowing people down, successfully kidnap Israelis and bring them back to Israel. And by some public reports, it took 3 hours for the IDF to get there. 3 hours? I was texting some people in the IDF. Some people say as much as 6 hours. And Israel is not very big. I flew a helicopter around Israel with IDF soldiers. We got from Jerusalem to the Gulf to Gaza in about 40 minutes via helicopter. And it took 6 hours for help to get there. Where were the border agents or the drone reconnaissance? I'm going to read you a text from someone who's very high up in the IDF. He said, situation is not good. A lot of disappointment from IDF. It's really biblical times. When God is angry on us, it is full power. We are doing the best we can to get out of this, and we will with God's help. At the end of the day, we are strong, very intense time. Nobody here understands how the Israeli intelligence missed this. Anger is everywhere. Now, he doesn't speak the best English, so that's his, but that's actually, that's the best he can. The language had to be cleaned up a little bit. Usually there's helicopters flying all over the place. And I just want to, I don't know what the complete picture is here, but you're trying to tell me that the CIA, Mossad, Israeli intelligence, everybody missed this? It's not, I want you to understand, this is not like the United States southern border where you have 2,800 miles where someone could go through. This is bizarre. And sad and tragic. Israel cares about its border deeply. They work hard to secure it. They have billions of dollars of technology built completely and totally on border security. How did this happen? And now Israel is planning a ground invasion of Gaza. Before they do that, somebody should say, have you guys fixed the intelligence bug in your own operating system? Is this a trap that you guys are going into? Have you purged the traitors in your midst? And more importantly, has America cautioned Israel to measure twice and cut once before you pull 300,000 reservists to go into Gaza? And I could go into the detail, the horror and the barbarism by these Muslims. What these Muslims did to kidnap these young girls, rape them, murder them, indiscriminate killing. Before, I just have to reemphasize this, and anybody is welcome to email us, freedom@charliekirk.com. What really happened here? We know that the public reports, but this is very, very hard for me to believe at face value. I'm just being honest. I'm just asking questions, and I'm not alone. I have asked Israeli after Israeli in the IDF, out of the IDF, and they said, Charlie, this is beyond perplexing. Nobody understands it. Because it's only a couple explanations. Israel is completely, they are completely incompetent, and they have no idea what they're doing, and they really don't have much of a border. Or maybe they had an intelligence failure. I'm not sure, but this is one of the more bloody and horrific days in Jewish history, let alone Israeli history. Not to mention 9 Americans also killed. It's hard not to just be emotional with the suffering that is occurring right now in Israel. These savage animals in the name of Islam go and they mow down young girls. They kidnap, you know what they said? They said, we have kidnapped the girls, we killed the ugly ones, and we're raping the pretty ones. This is what you're dealing with. Yeah, quite a worldview. Okay, there's a lot to get to. First, I just want to reiterate, very, very hard for me to understand how Israel, the most fortified country on the planet, allows this to occur. Israel is the freest society in a desert of totalitarianism. The Israeli government's far from perfect. There's plenty that I could say I don't like what they do. It's a very complicated country, and I don't get involved in Israeli politics, but why should I? But Israel has a right to exist, and Israel has a right to defend itself, 100%. It's not even a question. That is not in full agreement, by the way. Later in the show, I'm going to show you how many Americans are thrilled this happened. People are taken to the streets. There are 81 people at Harvard University, 31 people at Harvard University, I'm sorry, that are in total, they love it. They love that these girls are getting raped and they love the murder. It's not an exaggeration. I'll show it to you. Harvard organizers. So Israel started way back in 1948. It triggered the Arab-Israeli war. They went to war. They were invaded from every possible direction, and they held off the invasion. Israel has been at some form of war basically in every year of its existence. Then, of course, the Yom Kippur War in 1973 was one of the most dark times for modern Israel. They were attacked by surprise. And then Prime Minister Golda Meir actually had advance notice that this was going to happen. Golda Meir knew that Egypt was going to invade, knew that Syria was going to invade, and Golda Meir decided not to preemptively strike. Golda Meir at the time in 1973 said, you know what? If we strike first, we're going to lose all the international community support. So she allowed Israel to get attacked from every direction, and they responded. And of course, 1967, there was a 6-day war. Typically, these wars don't last very long. Even the Yom Kippur War was only like 3 weeks. Israel has a superior military, superior fighting force. This one feels different and sounds different. And so do we have the map of the region, Ryan or Blake, that we could put up? It's time to do a little bit of a geography lesson. So Israel is an oasis in a hellish desert. And again, to be perfectly clear, I'm not an apologist for the Israeli government. Okay, there's plenty of things they do that I wouldn't approve of. But again, they have a right to exist. God bless that they exist. I was able to see Capernaum, Hebron, Bethlehem, which is now taken over by the Arabs. Okay, that's one of the maps, but that map's a little deceiving. But as you can see on the left, that is the all blue. And for you on podcasting, we'll put this up at charliekirk.com. Israel has decided through peace agreements to give land back. So they gave up the Sinai, which of course is very important in Jewish history, to Egypt, and that peace deal actually worked. They've given up land throughout their history, throughout their 40, 50 year history in the pursuit of peace. Israel is about the size of New Jersey, just so you know what you're dealing with. Israel is about the size of New Jersey, and it's about 7-8 million people. About half of the world's Jewry lives in Israel. So there's something called the West Bank. And if you could see that those red dots there, the West Bank is called the West Bank. It's west of Jordan, west of the Jordan River. So it's east of Tel Aviv, west of Jordan. And that's really where a lot of this is in contention, but not this particular conflict. There's a small sliver that you might see on the screen right near the Mediterranean. Yeah. Please put 33 up. That's a better visual, please. Thank you. So 33, you'll see the Gaza Strip is, again, it's a very, very small strip with 2.5 million people. Oh, there's over 9 million people in Israel now? Got it. 9.4 million people in Israel. Thank you. The Gaza Strip is, it's very, very hard to even see on the map. About 2.5 million people live right on the Mediterranean, and it's been under occupation of Hamas. Hamas is a terrorist organization. They play footsie with the Palestinian Authority. We're going to talk all about the Palestinian Authority. And so there's basically two hot pockets. There's the West Bank, which is under constant contention because of Jewish settlements, and that includes Bethlehem and Hebron and goes all the way up to the mouth of the Jordan River, and it even surrounds Jerusalem. But then there's this other problem child, which is actually the bigger problem right now, and that's where all the attention is being directed. You have to wonder, are the Arabs trying to get Israel to dedicate all of their military forces to Gaza, and they're going to be invaded from the north or from another direction? It's worth thinking about. Is Syria and Lebanon going to invade Israel while they have all of their forces down to Gaza? We'll explain more the geography, the history, and the complexity on this dark day. Over 800 Jews and some Americans killed at the hands of Muslims. Strong Cell is amazing. I got to tell you, the combination of NADH, CoQ10, and collagen is really something. You know, people ask me, they say, Charlie, how do you keep your energy up? How do you just keep on pushing? Look, part of it is diet, nutrition, but I'll be honest, I take supplements really seriously. Fact check me on this. You can say, oh, Charlie, I'm going to fact check you. Type this into your search engine. NADH. Just type it in. What does it tell you? It might tell you that it is the secret to living long, anti-aging properties, more energy. Well, all of that is being proven in more and more clinical trials. NADH is a precursor so that your mitochondria can remain healthy and vibrant. The elites, a lot of billionaires, people with a lot of money, they spend a ton of money on NAD. It's a fact. NAD just might be your secret weapon for more energy. I take NAD every single day. I could tell you that NADH compared with CoQ10, the trials show very, very good things. I don't take my word for it. I mean, honestly, my word should be good for something, but fact check me. Look at it. And if you do it over 30 days, you'll see an increase in energy. I wake up better than ever before. NAD can help you potentially, again, fact check me on this, with depression, anxiety, other issues that you might be dealing with. It is nature's gift to you so that you might have extra energy and mental clarity. You guys can use promo code Charlie for 20% off. It's strongcell.com/Charlie. NAD might be nature's secret weapon for you. I love it. I take it every single day. Try it for at least 30 days to see the maximum benefit. And let me know, has NAD helped your life? Strongcell.com/Charlie. Check it out. Strongcell.com/Charlie.
If you're listening on podcasting, you can follow along with these maps. We're going to post them on charliekirk.com. Geography is not exactly America's strong suit, unfortunately. We're actually really bad at it. I love geography. So let's put that one plain. Thank you. So that's the state of Israel. Again, the West Bank, I'm going to get a lot of angry emails. This is part of Israel, whatever. That's not the point. That is what's called the West Bank. I'm not going to get into all that right now. That's not useful conversation. What is important, though, is the Gaza Strip is disconnected from the West Bank. The West Bank is where the quote-unquote capital of the Palestinian Authority is. It's where Mahmoud Abbas is. He's a money-laundering gangster. He's a bad guy. He runs the PA. But Gaza used to be controlled by the Israeli government. There was something called the Oslo Accords that Bill Clinton brokered, which basically started the withdrawal of Israel out of Gaza in the pursuit of peace. Gaza, a very populated strip. And eventually in 2005, there was the Gaza Strip Agreement that said, we're going to get rid of all the settlements, all Israeli soldiers. You guys can govern yourself. Have a great time. And that ended up being a really bad decision for multiple reasons. But more than anything else, they promptly elected Hamas to control the Gaza Strip. And it basically became a hot box. It became like a hot box of fury and intensity and rage because they basically were able to get so many young men in the hot box of Gaza to say, see, Israel is blockading us. Let's launch rockets. And then Israel said, let's blockade you more because you launch rockets. And it started this kind of cascade of negative interventions where Gaza, which again is controlled by a terror organization, Hamas, which is supported by Iran, which again, Joe Biden is awfully friendly with, it just creates this intensity that rises and rises and rises. Okay. So it's a city of 2 million people. Here's the best way I could explain it. That is essentially ruled by a cartel, except they claim to follow the will of Allah.
that they're following the will of the Islamic caliphate, or they're trying to recreate the caliphate, and that they feel as if they're on the right side of history. And it kind of has become a cesspool, to be perfectly honest. It's very poor, densely populated, and Hamas, they use children and women as human shields. They have for quite some time. So now this weekend, Hamas brings in 800 militants, and they do some of the most medieval, bloody, inexplicable war crimes that we've seen in the modern era. Now understand, when the bad guys say decolonization, this is who they are. Absent Israel, this is what the Middle East is. Raping, torturing, kidnapping, mutilation, using human shields. They celebrate it. If you don't believe me, look at the protests in the streets. In America, 500 years ago, Western laws imposed the death penalty for these things. This idea of just war, which came from Augustine, this idea of trying to fight a cleaner war, which I know sounds weird, but you don't fire on hospitals, you don't fire on women, you don't fire on children, active rules of engagement. Those things have been moral advancements for society. You don't target innocents. That war is the worst thing that human beings do. But is there a way to fight war where you're not firing on a 20-year-old at a dance ceremony? Hamas believes in none of that. Hamas are bloodthirsty, savage animals. And I could play video after video after video. But one of the reasons why Israel should have a right to defend itself is Israel is a civilized country. Hamas are a bunch of savage animals. And I hate to be that simple or that black and white, but it really is that way. I want to play some tape here. There's so much going on here. Let's go to cut one, please.
So we understand, obviously, that Hamas is leading these attacks. Do we know if other groups are involved as well?
Well, the Palestinian Islamic Jihad is involved as well, and both of them are working very closely with Iran, that provides them with the arms, with the technologies, with the ideas how to operate. We know that the leadership of Hamas, together with the leadership of Hezbollah, were meeting recently the leadership of Iran. So I'm sure that the Iranians are involved. The Hamas leadership calls on the Palestinians in the West Bank to join in as well.
Okay, so Hezbollah is another terror organization to the north that is domiciled in Lebanon. Different deal, same sort of agenda. So there are widespread protests in the streets in favor of what happened, in favor of what happened in America. It really makes you wonder, who is in our country right now? I want to just highlight one of them. New York Post, 31 Harvard organizers blame Israel for Hamas, saying Israel, the Hamas attack, is entirely responsible. More than 30 students at Harvard University are holding Israel entirely responsible for the Hamas slaughter, sparking outraged condemnation and calls by a congresswoman for the Ivy League school to denounce the abhorrent and heinous support of evil and terrorism. This is what Harvard University is producing. In a letter titled Joint Statement by the Harvard-Palestine Solidarity Group on the Situation in Palestine, 31 student organizations, including the Ivy League affiliate of Amnesty International, condemned Israel, even as its residents are kidnapped. More than 700 have been killed by the terror organization. And they're just getting warmed up if they have their way. Let's play another piece of tape here. Play cut 8.
Is there any indication that Americans were either killed or kidnapped by terrorists?
Yes, we have reports that several Americans were killed. We're working overtime to verify that. At the same time, there are reports of missing Americans, and there again, we're working to verify those reports.
Tony Blinken, hearing reports of several Americans were killed. Let's play cut 27. Goes from dance party to a killing field. So there's something wrong here, obviously. It's very hard to understand how Hamas got through. Was the Israeli government double-crossed? Nobody has a good answer here at all. 260 young people were butchered at a music festival. This is one of the bloodiest and deadliest days in all of Jewish history. There are Americans that are being held hostage right now. Right now. Joe Biden held a barbecue at the White House last night, just chilling and hanging out. His administration doesn't care. His regime doesn't care. You look at all the weaponry that we left behind in Afghanistan. Why would they care? You guys are nothing but peasants and serfs. But there's another wrinkle here, and this is not a comfortable topic. Are there sleeper cells in the United States that are going to launch a terror attack on our big cities? 10 million people are on pace to cross our border. We don't know who these people are. They're from over 130 countries. Cory Booker is standing with signs that says, get rid of all the walls, open borders. Are there Hamas terrorists right now in Dallas, Chicago, New York? If they get their hands on a weapon or a dirty bomb? Is anybody even mentioning this? Well, Donald Trump is. Donald Trump put on Truth Social. He said that, and I'm going to read his quote exactly. The same people that raided Israel are pouring into our once beautiful USA through our totally open southern border at record numbers. Are they planning an attack within our country? I'm not trying to make you panic or trying to make you in a state of fear or afraid, but Israel's border is far more secure than our border. Far more secure. They actually care about their border. We don't. We have a government that couldn't care less about our border. We know that U.S. weapons from Afghanistan ended up in the Palestinian hands in the Gaza Strip that then were used to go kill Americans. Americans died. 9 Americans died here. So we funded the death of our own Americans, which of course our government does all the time. That shouldn't shock you. Government being co-conspirators in the death and murder of Americans happens on a daily basis. So not a big shock there. Biden released $6 billion to Iran. We have all the Iranian oil parts here, components. Joe Biden's doing a barbecue. Israel is home to half of all the world's Jews. The Muslims that run Hamas are not going to stop until they believe they can kill every single Jew on the face of the earth. That is their goal. And now we're about to see a massive, massive war in the Middle East. Israel is positioning hundreds of thousands of troops to invade Gaza. Are they falling into a trap? Is this going to escalate now into a regional war that will involve Iran and China? Email us freedom@charliekirk.com. We're going to continue with the response. Wait till I read what Rashida Tlaib had to say. Somebody says, Charlie, how is Israel any better than Hamas? Let me tell you how Israel right now is telling people to leave the area they're about to bomb. They're sending leaflets and they're telling people to get out. They're giving people notice of where they're going to declare war. Did Hamas give people notice before they go and raped all those women? And just understand that rape at war is normative to the uncivilized. They're like, what? Of course. We just raped the women. Why would that be a problem? Do you know that there is a Jewish law in Deuteronomy that says if you win a war, that if you see a woman that you like, not only are you not allowed to rape the woman, but you must take her home, let her mourn her family for 30 days, and then you may only touch her if you take her as your wife. That is a Jewish law. That's a big civilizational advancement. Let's put this image up of all the young women. I mean, if you see something, there's obviously a commonality. The animals, they want the good-looking young girls. They just killed all the men. And they said clearly, we've killed all the ugly ones. This is not just a border dispute. This is outright satanic savagery is what we're dealing with here, right there. You know, somebody on Twitter who's a numbskull said, wow, Israeli people are really good looking. Well, yeah, but moron, they're all getting raped right now. Why do you think they kidnapped them? So now you have these savage Islamic pigs that are currently raping American citizens, Israeli citizens. Yeah, this is beyond humiliating for the Israeli government. So how should one respond? Israel's going to do what Israel does. Israel's going to probably overreact. Let me tell you what's going to happen. So right now, the international community is split. It's honestly not even in Israel's favor because the whole international community hates Israel so much. Why? Not because of the Jewish thing. That's actually not why. They hate Israel because they have a border, because they have a national identity, and because they are a case for sovereignty. That's why. Yes, there's plenty of anti-Semites at the UN. There's plenty of Jew haters, but it's more than that. Israel is a symbol because they're expressly clear about the type of nation they wish to be. Israel is against the modern multiculturalist project of letting anybody into your country and destroying your national identity. Okay? That's why they hate Israel. They protect their Jewish identity. They have borders. They deport people that are rabble rousers. And the international groups say, no, 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 you must have, like Soros, a nation is not a thing. Allow the borders completely and totally wide open. So Israel is probably going to overreact, and who can blame them? This is a complete humiliation. But understand this. The Muslims hope they overreact. We overreacted after 9/11, and that wasn't a good thing. We got into several no-win wars, lost 4,500 people in Iraq, spent trillions of dollars, demoralized our nation. The Muslims' playbook is surprise attack, use children and women as human shields, build international support that can then get consensus against Israel, and people will forget that Israel was attacked in the first place. It has worked before. So you have an atrocity, you beg for sympathy after you get punished. A lot more to cover here on this very, very dark Monday. I'm not here to tell Israel what to do. They know it better than I do. Here's what I hope does not happen. I hope Israel is surgical in their response. I hope Israel not necessarily even shows restraint, because, I mean, showing restraint, how can you tell them to show restraint? I just hope they're prudent. I hope they do not try to escalate this into a regional war. It is up to Israel. We need to put America first. Let them do what they want to do. But my goodness, I stand with Israel personally, with these savage, God-forsaken barbarians that rape and murder in the name of Islam. I want to talk about ReliefFactor.com. I want you guys to check out ReliefFactor.com, 100% drug-free, knee pain, back pain, joint pain, elbow pain. Check out Relief Factor Energy. Help makes your body make nutrients readily available. Relief Factor Sleep. I know a lot of you are probably having trouble sleeping. Relief Factor Sleep could be the best solution for you. Everybody goes to bed. Not everybody sleeps. We're all about helping people live lives that are filled with connection, exploration, passion, and emotion. That is what his life is all about. Make sure you guys are sleeping well. It's a major part of life. Check it out right now. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Live from Jerusalem is Rabbi Daniel Lapin. Thank you so much, Rabbi. You're also in charge of the American Alliance of Jews and Christians. Rabbi, I wish this was under better circumstances. Please tell us what are you feeling, hearing on the ground in Israel? Please take us through it.
I'm sure, Charlie. Well, we were in synagogue on Saturday morning, and a large part of Israel's population would have been in synagogue. Saturday morning wasn't just a regular Shabbat morning. It was a Shabbat morning, and it was also a biblical holiday found in Leviticus chapter 23. It's called the eighth day, and it's a day of significance to Christians as well as Jews. And all of a sudden, during the early part of the service, sirens went off, and these are sirens that are set up to automatically detect incoming rockets, and rapid and very sophisticated computer programming determines the rocket trajectory. And then sirens in the target vicinity are set off, and Israelis all know to make for their shelters when that happens. Every building, every synagogue, every hospital, every school has a bomb shelter or a rocket shelter. And that was how it began, although it had begun earlier down south at dawn when about 1,000 terrorists broke through the Gaza fence and penetrated as far as about 10 miles into into Israel, attacking about 20 settlements and starting to murder. By the end of the day, they'd killed about 800 people. Now, Charlie, can I just put that into context? Israel's got a population of about 7 million Jews. That's about the same as the population. Actually, it's a little less than the population of the state of Georgia. And the United States is 330 million. Well, when a small country like Israel loses 800 people in one day through a series of coordinated massacres, everybody knows somebody. I mean, it's, you just do. The equivalent impact would be about 30,000 people killed in a day in the United States by some concerted terrorist attacks. 9/11, you'll remember, was just under 3,000 victims. And the impact over the last 2 days in Israel has been 10 times what America felt on 9/11, Israel is feeling during this period. And it's also incredibly traumatic because the Israel Defense Force, the IDF, has always been seen as almost unbeatable, almost a magical force of mythical strength and effectiveness, and something really, really bad went wrong on Saturday and Sunday. Obviously, now nobody's doing investigations, but I assure you there will be a major investigation when this is all over. And all over probably means a land invasion based on the mobilization calls, the likes of which Israel has never seen in its history. The mobilization is so extensive that one would have to assume that a land invasion of Gaza is now being planned.
So Rabbi, what I don't understand is how this logistically happened. Israel, Egypt warned Israel repeatedly that something big was happening. Before a ground invasion, you know, are there calls, you know, internally for some people to say, let's figure out what went wrong? Because if there are traitors in the Israeli government, wouldn't it be wise or prudent to try to resolve that beforehand? And then as far as the everyday Israeli citizen, I'm sure that there is more unity now than almost ever before, where even a week and a half ago, it was a country that felt as if it was almost on the verge of a soft civil war, given all the judiciary conflict. Please go through those two questions.
Yeah, Charlie, you're absolutely right. So that this was a colossal failure, nobody has any doubt. You know the number of civilian casualties during the Yom Kippur War, October the 6th, 1973, 50 years ago. The number of civilian casualties during that war was zero, not a single civilian casualty. And so 800 casualties over the last 60 hours is quite unimaginable. It's traumatic. It's shocking. I don't think that anybody is seriously contemplating treachery in the Israeli government or in the Israeli army, but shocking incompetence. And as far as Egypt's warnings, so yes, you know, afterwards there are always people who claim, well, I told them and I told them. The trouble is that Israel gets about two or three of these warnings every week. And it's really difficult, isn't it, to keep up a high level of vigilance month after month, year after year, when not a whole lot is happening. Part of the problem that will, I think, come out is that the 70 kilometers, say 50-odd miles of Gaza border fence have largely been guarded digitally, electronically. And somehow or another, maybe with the help of Iran, nobody knows yet, but somehow that was hacked. And the Hamas operatives themselves have made videos boasting about how shocked they were that they were not challenged for the first few hours. They didn't expect this kind of success. And again, Israel's primary military doctrine has always been battles on the enemy's territory. We do whatever it takes to make sure that the war doesn't occur on Israeli soil, where Israeli, again, the, you know, the death of millions of Jews in the 20th century during the Holocaust through the Nazis still hangs very heavily on the Jewish consciousness. And so this is like a major thing. And the fact that these people, about 1,000 of them, invaded Israeli soil and committed massacre and mayhem for up to several hours, maybe as many as 5 hours. Israelis will never forget the anguished phone calls from besieged victims who were watching people being killed, calling, "Where is the army? Come and help us." This is unprecedented, and it will leave permanent changes.
So, Rabbi, in about a minute, do you think that this will be a prolonged conflict? Or do you think that this will be rather surgical, similar to the Six-Day War? Bibi Netanyahu says this could take up to months. What being in the region, do you think that this is actually might be the start of something quite long and unfortunately bloody?
It's very, very problematic because Israel has never planned for a long engagement. As a matter of fact, the 73 war went much longer than anyone expected. And honestly, without Richard Nixon, who went against the wishes of the State Department, even against the wishes of Henry Kissinger, but he claimed that it was his mother's love for Israel, Richard Nixon resupplied 22,000 tons of military material in 256 flights of United States Air Force cargo. And so the problem is that Israel's not geared for a very long, drawn-out campaign. But on the other hand, what they plan to do in Gaza, in my view, is not something that will happen in 5 days.
So, Rabbi, help us respond to what some people would say. Some people will say Israel is an apartheid state, that we must free Palestine. How would you respond to this idea that Israel is an aggressor, apartheid state? How would you respond?
Yeah. I think it's really important for people to understand and for people to be helped to understand that virtually every struggle in the world today, almost every crisis and every conflict is a conflict between civilization and barbarism. And civilization as we know it, Western civilization, is essentially a direct product of the Judeo-Christian tradition. Civilization springs from the pages of Scripture, from the pages of the Bible. And so the Israel conflict in the Middle East, again, it's a conflict between barbarism and civilization. And you don't need to be Jewish to know which side is which. It's not hard to see. If you look at the whole world of Islamic extremism and jihadism, let's put it this way. I don't know of any pastor who would authorize the cutting the throat of an airline stewardess. There's a difference between barbarism and civilization. And so the Israel is acting in the defense of 2,000 years of Western, of civilization and that which became Western civilization. And it is under attack by the forces of barbarism. This is not untrue in other parts of the world as well. Now, I don't believe that America belongs in the Ukraine conflict. I don't believe we have a horse in that race, and I don't think we should be there. I think it's thoroughly irresponsible for so much of American armament to be being deployed in that part of the world. I think it's irresponsible in the extreme to drive Russia, India, and China into forming their own economic union, which is almost certainly going to result in the displacing of the dollar as the world reserve currency in the foreseeable future. So to merely label Israel as an apartheid state is the same technique as trying to label people racist or bigoted or sexist. And the fact is kind of funny that if Israel is an apartheid state, you know, why would it be that so many doctors in Hadassah Hospital are Arabs? Why is it that so many medical students in Haifa are Arabs? Why is it that Arabs sit in the Israeli parliament? What Muslim country in the world has Jews or Christians sitting in their governing body? What other nation in the world has Jews or Christians being allowed to build churches? Arabs in Israel build mosques. And so this whole charge is part of the left's strategy of not engaging in substantive discussion and factual debate, but merely flinging accusations and terms around, which become automatically scurrilous indictments without any analysis at all. It's complete rubbish.
So it just, how would you respond to this idea where they say we need to decolonize Israel? Israel was illegally chartered.
Well, I'm not really sure that I can agree with the premise that colonization was quite the evil it was meant to be. The fact is that countries in Africa that used to be British colonies are doing significantly better than countries that weren't. So I'm not sure that I agree with that fundamental premise that colonization and colonialism was the evil it was meant to be. As far as Israel is concerned, again, that is a term, decolonized. What exactly is that supposed to mean? People are Israeli citizens. The United Nations agreed with that in 1948. It was the Arabs that didn't agree with it. And now this is the status quo. Israel exists, and that is a reality.
Rabbi, I agree with you. I think colonization was a moral good for the planet, so I don't consider it to be a pejorative. We're going to talk about how they connect decolonization with, it's really decivilization. They want to get rid of common law. They want to get rid of charity, respect for the poor, independent judiciary, due process. Rabbi, I really enjoyed having you on. I'd like to have you on again soon. I wish it would be under better circumstances. I'm praying for Israel, and I pray that the bloodshed can be limited and that some form of justice can be served while innocents on both sides don't have to die unnecessarily. Rabbi, thank you so much. Hey, everybody. Mike Lindell has a passion to help you get the best sleep of your life. He didn't stop at the pillow. Mike Lindell has created the Giza Dream bed sheets. These sheets look and feel great, which means an even better night's sleep, which is crucial for your overall health. Mike found the world's best cotton called Giza. It's ultra soft and breathable, but extremely durable. Mike's Giza sheets come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Mike's latest incredible deal is the sale of the year. For a limited time, you'll receive 50% off the Giza Dream Sheets, marking prices down as low as $29.98, depending on the size. Go to MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. That is MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk, including the MyPillow 2.0 mattress topper, MyPillow kitchen towel sets, and so much more. Call 800-875-0425 or go to MyPillow.com, use promo code Kirk, MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. Joining us now is Will Scharf, who's running for Attorney General in Missouri. Will has my support and my backing. Will, good to see you. Wish it was under better circumstances. What's happening in Israel now is the most Jews killed in one day since the Holocaust. That's what President Herzog has to say. Will, you know the situation pretty well. You know the region. Explain to me how you think it's possible that it takes 6 hours for the IDF to come help and how this border was penetrated. I have not heard anybody answer that question with satisfactory way. Will, your reaction, your response to this tragedy?
Yeah, and you know, as you know, Charlie, I'm an American Jew. I have family in Israel. I have cousins who have already been called up to reserve duty. And I hope that all of your viewers and listeners, you know, keep the state of Israel, the people of Israel, and their thoughts and prayers. As was the case with the Yom Kippur War 50 years ago, Hamas attacked on one of the holiest days of the Jewish calendar. My suspicion is that the border, the entire border with Gaza was as a result more thinly manned than usual. This was a massive attack, thousands and thousands of rockets fired, followed by thousands of terrorists, you know, attacking the border at once. I think the IDF was caught flat-footed. It seems like Israeli intelligence had probably the greatest failure here in the history of the state of Israel. It's pretty stunning. Obviously, I think that there's going to be a reckoning in the days ahead. I think Israel is on a full war footing, and I think there's going to be real payback in terms of the attack that are coming against Hamas. I hope that they uproot Hamas, totally destroy it as a force, and maybe then we can actually have peace in the Middle East. I think it's also worth noting that the Biden administration over the last 4 years has been flooding the Iranian regime with billions and billions of American dollars, has taken a soft stance on sanctions. All of the good work President Trump did deterring the Iranians from funding and supporting terrorism throughout the region is now for naught because of weakness in the American administration. I think that's a key piece of this story as well.
So Will, I want to focus on one part of this. So the American response has been, the government, whatever, I'm talking about the grassroots, has been reprehensible, what I've seen in the streets. So we see 30 organizers at Harvard University saying that they support Palestine 100%. Then you have like BLM activists saying something very similar. And now in academic circles, you're starting to see this phrase over and over again, decolonization, decolonization, decolonization. Will, walk our audience through intersectionality, how all of a sudden a BLM activist or somebody fighting for queer rights or whatever changes their costume and they show up on Sunday with a Palestinian flag. How does that work? And how is this what is the academic reason for intersectionality and the threat it poses to America?
So on the woke left, there's this idea that all oppression essentially stems from Western civilization, from Western institutions, and Western governance structure. So if you adopt that view, if you adopt the view that people all over the world are being oppressed by the same network of organizations, which we would call, you know, Western civilization, America and its allies, American institutions, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, liberalism, small L liberalism. If you adopt that view, then it's like if the only tool you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail. But it's insane. I mean, the same LGBT activists who, if they showed up in Gaza, would probably be tossed off the top of a building, are out in the street chilling for Hamas. The fact that we have Americans all over this country demonstrating in favor of one of the most vicious terrorist groups in the world is shameful, and I think Americans need to understand what's going on here. We have the leftist movement in America has been totally hijacked by the craziest, by the most violent radicals in the world. And we have congressmen, my own congresswoman, Cori Bush, who's one of the absolute worst members of the squad. I mean, she's out there essentially shilling for Hamas right now. It's absolutely yes. Shameful. We need to be open-eyed about what it is, and we need to call out and condemn it at every opportunity.
You said it perfectly. This comes from a series of academic papers and now a whole school of thought that the West is the problem for all of our problems, is the reason for all of our problems, right? Homophobia, colonialism, misogyny, all that sort of stuff. And they loop it all together and they say we are all allies in this fight for justice. Rashida Tlaib this weekend, Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib, blamed Israel for the violence and accused Israel of apartheid. So, Will, for those in the audience that are not as, you know, read into all the complexities of what's happening in Israel, talk a little bit about the history and respond to now this new narrative. Because, Will, I'll be honest, even in some of the Instagram comments I'm getting, people that they say, Charlie, I usually love you, but this pro-Israel stuff, Israel's an apartheid state and they're committing genocide. So walk us through this, Will, because there's a lot of people that have been told to hate Israel and they haven't really thought deeply about the topic.
Sure. So in 1947, the United Nations attempted to partition an area of the world that was at the time controlled by the British Empire into a Jewish state and an Arab state. The Jews accepted it and declared the state of Israel. The Arabs invaded and attempted to destroy the state of Israel and drive the Jews into the ocean. In the 1948 war, Israel won. Israel maintained its independence. In 1967, the surrounding Arab nations again got together and tried to drive Israel into the sea, kill every Jew in the area. Again, the Israelis won and thereby expanded their territory. But what we've seen is this constant narrative that Israel is somehow an illegitimate state. You said that Israel is an apartheid state. It's absolute garbage. Israeli Arab citizens have more rights in Israel than Arabs do in any Arab-governed state in the world. Israel has Arab members of the Knesset. They've had Arab members of the Israeli Supreme Court. Israel, in terms of rights, in terms of the Western conception of a society governed by right, by the law, Israel is far and away the most advanced, the most liberal state in the Middle East. Small L liberal, of course. But it's a totally false narrative. What we have right now is a number of terrorists. Hamas is a terrorist organization internationally recognized. A number of terrorists who are holding the entire region hostage. They're being funded and abetted by the Iranians, one of our greatest foes in the world. Americans need to understand that, you know, this may start with Israel, but it's going to come to us as well. Americans were killed in the attack the other day. Americans are currently being held hostage in Gaza. We need to understand which side we're on here. And I promise you, we are not on the terrorist side and they are not on our side.
The savagery and the barbarism is hard to even grasp. And thank you for going through all that, Will, because the amount of antagonism and nastiness that is thrown at Israel is quite remarkable. And it's from people that you otherwise would be like, why are you so focused on Israel? Will, what is your answer to why the UN and all these international organizations are so focused on this relatively small country, the size of New Jersey, right? With half the world's Jewry. They're fixated. They're obsessed. And you think about this, you know, Hamas or Gaza or Jordan, you have what, 50 plus Arab dominated countries in the Middle East, and the Jews want one little sliver. What is it about Israel that gets the Muslims, the globalists, the internationalists so fired up?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think a piece of it is anti-Semitism, but I think it goes beyond that. As you said, you have a ton of Arab countries who historically have always rather, they've always wanted to be able to distract their people with this conflict against Israel as opposed to dealing with the very real issues in their own societies and their own cultures. What we saw under President Trump with the Abraham Accords was a fundamental rejection of that premise. It was the greatest sort of ray of hope for Middle Eastern peace in generations. Unfortunately, we've seen a lot of that unwind in the last few years under Joe Biden. But when you look at the UN, when you look at these international organizations, they'd much rather beat up on Israel rather than talk about the fact that China has millions of Uyghurs in concentration camps. They'd much rather talk about Israel than about human rights abuses in any number of other countries around the world. Because as you said, Israel's a small country. It's an easy figure to beat up on. But you're right. I mean, Israel probably shouldn't get the attention that it does from these sorts of international organizations. I think a piece of it is anti-Semitism. And I think a piece of it is that Israel's a convenient whipping boy if you don't want to address the very real issues around human rights, democracy, around rights respecting government around the world.
I do want to try to get to your story about the Trump indictment, but all the energy right now is about Israel and how this could turn into a regional conflict. And I have yet to be satisfied by any answer. And I've been looking around how on earth Hamas was able to penetrate that border. I'm not a military expert, but I just look at this and I say, wait a second, before you guys invade Gaza, can you figure out the intelligence failure? Because maybe you have more intelligence failures and more traitors in the midst. Maybe they have some traitors in Mossad. Who knows? It is really unbelievable. Add more detail about Iran's role and Joe Biden funding Iran.
So Iran funds any number of terrorist groups all over the Middle East. With respect to Israel, the two key players are obviously Hamas, which controls the Gaza Strip, and then Hezbollah, which controls much of the country of Lebanon. Iran has been a prime actor in this region for a long time through what's called the IRGC, which is a component of the Iranian military, the Iranian Revolutionary Guards Corps. That's sort of their key entity for exporting terrorism around the region. What we know now is that IRGC officers, Iranian officers, were actively meeting with Hamas and Hezbollah operatives and leaders in Lebanon within the last month or two. Iran is a principal source of both funding and weapons for Hamas. It's tough to see how Iran did not have a role in these attacks. So far, what we've heard is denials that Iran had a direct role, but certainly in terms of financing and arming Hamas, Iran is the key player behind this sort of activity and needs to be held accountable. You may remember when Donald Trump was president, the head of the IRGC was a general named Qasem Soleimani. After the IRGC started attacking American-occupied military bases in Iraq, Trump had Soleimani killed in a drone strike. That was the sort of approach we took to Iranian exporting of terrorism in the region under President Trump. Unfortunately, under President Biden, as I said before, we've seen now, I think, close to $10 billion of money shipped to Iran for various purposes in the misbegotten hope of resurrecting the Iran nuclear deal. But Iran is ultimately behind this. I believe Iran is ultimately responsible. And I believe Iran has American blood on its hands here. I think it's time they were held accountable.
Talk also, Will, in closing here, how this probably undermined peace efforts between Saudi Arabia and Israel. And then also, Will, talk about how, you know, some people in our audience say, Charlie, how does this impact us as Americans? Well, through many ways, but not to mention, there are Americans currently being held hostage right now. 9 Americans were killed. And if you have a passport, if you're an American passport holder, that needs to be a guarantee that we're going to do everything we possibly can to get you out of harm's way. Answer those two questions, Will, as we summarize all this.
Sure. So on the latter point, I mean, America has a lot of interest in Israel. America works closely with Israel on counterterrorism issues and other foreign policy issues. The American defense industry co-developed weapons with Israel. Israeli security is a big part of our engagement with the Middle East. Israel's been an ally to us in the global war on terrorism. And there are a lot of Americans, as you said, that are in Israel. And unfortunately, Americans have been both killed and captured in this fight. You know, in Iran, they refer to Israel as the little Satan and America as the great Satan. I promise you, this may have started with Israel, but it does not end with Israel. These are people who wish us ill. I believe one of the easiest ways for us to fight against Iranian terrorism making it into the homeland here and threatening American interests abroad is giving Israel the tools they need to deal with Iranian terrorism on their perimeter. In terms of the Saudi issue, obviously a key goal of American foreign policy in that region for a long time has been the rapprochement between Israel and key Arab powers like Saudi Arabia, like the United Arab Emirates, and like Egypt. I think under President Trump, we made great strides in that respect. Obviously, the Abraham Accords, but also increased security cooperation between Israel and Egypt and Israel and Saudi Arabia. Before these attacks, it appeared that we were on a path towards a full normalization of relations between Israel and Saudi Arabia, which would have been a major win for those of us who care about American interests in the Middle East. Unfortunately, these attacks may derail that. As public pressure on the Saudi government ramps up in the coming days, as Israel starts to do what they have to do to guarantee their security. I do think it's important to note, though, that the United Arab Emirates put out a statement supporting Israel, condemning Hamas. It was, in many respects, a much more positive, aggressive statement than we've seen from many aspects of American society and American congressmen. So I think it's fortunate that, at least in some respect, the peace that we've attempted to broker between Israel and our Arab allies in the Middle East over the last decade seems to be holding, and I hope that that continues.
Will Scharf, running for Attorney General in Missouri, he's going to make a great one. I'm behind him. Will, we'll get you back on about the other Trump news, but this was definitely very helpful. Thank you so much, Will.
Thanks a lot, Charlie. Appreciate it.
It is civilization versus Barbary. That's where we're at. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com. Cable news, noisy, boring, out of touch. That's why Salem News Channel is different. We keep you in the know. Streaming 24/7 for free. Home to the greatest collection of conservative voices like Dennis Prager, Jay Sekulow, Mike Gallagher, and more. Salem News Channel is unfiltered and unapologetic. Watch anytime, on any screen, at snc.tv and local now, channel 525.